I'm Mike. I got my line mate Matt with me. And today, we're going to go over a little bit of Blackhawks news. There's not too much going on right now. We have some NHL news. We're going to have a little bit of a debate on the what's going on in Calgary. And, you know, we'll leave it at that. So, you know, the Black, just all in all for the Blackhawks organization, I think everyone is in the dark on which direction it's going, except for Taves and Kane. They've been in constant contact with Davidson, and Davidson admitted that, you know, they weren't, you know, really, you know, too happy about a few things, but he has been openly communicating with them and being honest. And to be honest with you, man, as a player, Matt, what more can you really ask? You know, yeah, sure, things aren't going the way that you want, but if the organization is communicating to you, I think that kind of shows what you mean to the organization, you know, because the GM isn't beholden to the players. He's doing it out of a courtesy, you know, for what they've done. What do you think of that?
Oh, I think Davidson is just doing everything he can to, he wants to get rid of Kane and Taves, but he's doing the right things. He's not saying I'm shopping these guys. He's like, oh, well, I'm asking for their opinions first. And he's trading DeBrincat, knowing that that's going to really tick off Kaner. It's probably ticked off Taves, too. He's a winner. Yeah. He wants to be with good players. But I think he's doing it's hard. I'm probably just overthinking it. But I think he wants to get rid of him. It's clear. But he's not saying it. He's just doing things to make it easier for him, and then easier for Kane and Taves to say, yeah, move us, we're done with this. That's just my take on it. I don't know if it's true, but if I'm a guy who's been here for 10 plus years and won 3 Stanley Cups, and you keep, you know, you're trading guys knowingly I want to keep these guys, but you did it anyway and you didn't really get a good return, it's going to tick me off a little bit.
I think the thing is, though, even if they kept DeBrincat and Hagel, they're not competing for anything next year. And no. I think that's the tough pill that Taves needed to swallow, you know, this year. And, you know, when right after the trade, they had the Blackhawks, you know, prospect camp, and Taves was there and he was, you know, checking out the players and stuff. For a guy that you would think, is there a possibility that he's checked out? I don't think that he would have been there if he was. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think that Taves will be traded. I think there's going to be teams calling like, hey, this guy, we need help. Second line center, playoffs, shutdown role, whatever, third line. This guy knows how to win. Maybe he'll get calls. But I think in the end, this might be Taves' last season just with the injuries. But Kaner, we've seen him. He's putting points up every year. He's feels like he's a point of game guy. I just think I would love to see these two guys stay and finish their careers, like, you know, Dustin Brown just did with the Kings, Ryan Getzlaf just did with the Ducks. It's just these are the guys you want to finish. Like, you want them to be lifer Hawks. You'd hate right. to see him in another uniform. But I just think there's so much more game in Kane. I mean, there's so much more life, and Taves is different. I think, you know, like you said, he went to the training camp, he watching these young guys come up, like, you know, that was him. That was him, like, what, 15, 14 years ago, whatever.
It's a long time in the league, man.
Yeah, it was a long time. And, you know, it shows that he cares, yeah. And it's probably good for the kids coming up. Oh, the captain's here. This is awesome. I get to meet Taves. You know, he's a legend here. And, you know, I want to be a legend here.
A little intimidating, too, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, I think it's great. But, I think Kaner, it's going to be a sad day, man. I mean, I was pretty ticked off with DeBrincat just because it was a terrible trade.
Yeah.
But I think Taves retiring here would be a lot better for him and a lot better for the fans. Give him a job right away in the management. Yeah. Say, hey, listen, we want you to be like a player development coach. Stay with us. We love you. You're a Hawk. You belong here. But I think Kaner, you know, he's going to go chase a cup somewhere, because he deserves it. The guy's going to be a Hall of Famer, one of the best American players of all time.
Yeah, I definitely think that I personally think that Kaner wants to stay with the Hawks. I think that he wants to make sure that he's number one on that all-time Hawks games played list and possibly point leader on there. That just seems that's like the type of guy that he is. When it's all said and done, who knows? They might take a couple years off. You know, they've been playing so much hockey for the past 15 years. They might just need to sit on the beach for, you know, six months or something.
Just get away from the rink. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because that's, you know, that's a hard life. And, you know, we'll take it from there. But I think that they both stay. I think that Taves might actually play a couple more years, probably at a cheaper deal. I think
maybe go back home, you think, to Winnipeg?
I think that he's looking to, you know, they might just say, hey, you know, we need some leadership here, and these kids don't have it yet. We don't have that guy. We need you to captain this team. And, you know, in a year or two, you know, we'll have an eye on somebody who we think can be the, you know, the captain, and then we'll crown him then, you know. Or maybe Taves is like, you know what, my body can't handle it anymore. I'm done. Kaner stays. He gets the C on his chest, which is totally deserving. And you know, maybe he just plays out his days here, you know?
I think Davidson should let them finish their contracts out. I mean, you're going to get value for Kane. You know, you'll get a first rounder. You might get a prospect. You might. Who knows? But Taves, I don't think you're going to get much for. You're better off keeping him and trying to get him, like, maybe, you know, like a Malkin type of deal.
Right,
like
100%.
2 years. And say, hey, yeah, you're the captain. Show these guys. You've won your cups. You've made your money. You're still a legend in the city. That would be great. That would be great.
No pressure, dude. All you have to do is just play hockey. We're not asking you to win us a cup this year. We're looking for you to mentor these kids on the rigors of an 82-game season. Being a young guy, you were a young guy here one time, you know? Yeah. I think that's pretty valuable, man.
I think it would be great. And, you know, like, look at Dustin Brown. He was there. Ryan Getzlaff went through some rebuilds. Ryan Getzlaff had some, you know, good playoff runs. I know he won a cup. I think he was a rookie.
Yeah, I think so. Him and Perry.
Yeah, he stayed through the bad, and he was there through the good. And I love players that stick with one team. I think that's awesome. Loyalty on both sides. I mean, you don't see too many of them. Like, I would have thought Mike Modano would have been a Dallas star forever. He 100%. Wasn't. You know, and you got guys like...
He didn't know when to hang it up, though.
He didn't. Yeah, he kept getting hurt. I know Mike Richter, I think, was a Ranger his whole career. Lundqvist, I mean, he tried to go to the Washington Capitals, but, you know, he got hurt. Same with Crawford. Crawford decided it was, you know, he was done. But, you know, you don't see that. You don't see it much. Stevie Y was a lifer Red Wing.
Sakic.
And who was a lifer Blackhawk? I mean, there really wasn't, except Stan Mikita.
Yeah.
You know, and that was probably the last, like, legendary, like, player to do it. And I would love to see Kane and Taves do it. I just feel like going back to my first take, I think that Davidson is... He's not going to say he wants to trade him, but he's doing stuff to make them want to be traded. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like he wants those picks, but and then again, he doesn't want to say it because he's going to take a ton of backlash from the fans.
I honestly think that he believes that he's doing the right thing.
Davidson?
Yeah.
Well, after this, maybe this
who knows what his plan is. Like, I don't know what his, you know, 3 to 5 year plan is. I don't.
Well, going to this next subject, maybe I think if Davidson called Florida to trade DeBrincat, maybe they would have threw a Spencer Knight the way that guy was feeling. But I just don't know if he's making the right moves. I really agreed with Kirby Doc. He needed a change. That's fine. You got to pick. That was a good move. Brandon Hagel, yeah, he's a third line guy, maybe on a good team. He brought us 2 first-round picks and 2 NHL players,
right.
2 ready NHL players. That was a great trade. That really made me feel like really good about this guy. Okay, this guy might know what he's doing. And then, you know, the DeBrincat trade, it's like, whoa, were you just trying to make a splash at the draft just to make a splash? It didn't work. It was very bad. So yeah, I like the Max Domi signing and the Anthony to see you, whatever.
Anathasio. I think that's how you say it.
I think they say it differently when I was playing NHL, 20 a couple of years ago or whatever. Anthony to see you or whatever. Who knows? Okay. I liked him. He was good a couple of years ago. Fast. Yeah. I like those moves. Cheap. Like, hey, you know, maybe these guys can put up some decent numbers with Kaner. And there'll be hot commodities at the trade deadline. You get like a second round pick, maybe.
Well, nobody's going to hit Kaner with Max Domi around.
I think Max Domi can score 30 goals with Kane. And maybe Max 50. Domi's like, you know what? I like it here. I kind of want to stay. And you know what? I like Max Domi's game when he was Phoenix Coyote. I thought I loved it. He was sandpaper. He could score. He can hit. He, you know, do whatever. Then he started moving around a little bit and kind of.
Pretty douchey for a bit there.
Pretty douchey against the Hawks a couple seasons. I think he was going after DeBrincat. He was going after like rookies and stuff. I'm like, come on, dude. I think we did a podcast about
it. Yeah, we did. Yeah. We did. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, dude, DeBrincat's not going to back down from you, dude.
Oh, DeBrincat fought that kid from Seattle this year, Yanni Gord, the guy they picked up from Tampa. And he was like, he was laughing at him, and then the cat turned into a tiger. Like, whoa.
So, yeah, I know. Like, it was funny. It was on Twitter. Yeah. People are like, why are you laughing at him? Somebody's kicking your ass.
He's like, how the heck did he do that? I thought he could only score goals. But he ended up got some good swings in there. I loved
did.
It.
He did. So I got one for you, man. We need to talk about the Matthew Tkachuk trade with Florida. Matthew Tkachuk to Florida. In return, Calgary gets Jonathan Huberdeau. Right afterwards, Tkachuk signed an 8-year extension for $72 million. So that's $9 million a year for Tkachuk. I'll be honest with you, man. I think it's a little high. I think it's a little high because he was playing with Johnny Gaudreau. Okay. Yeah. And I don't think that he's going to be putting up that kind of production next year. 100 points this past year. Was it 100 points or 114?
No, 115 for Huberdeau, and I think it was 105 for Tkachuk. Okay. I want to say, still a very impressive season for him.
I don't think he's scoring that this year.
I don't think he's going to score 40.
Do you think that's what they got him for, though? Like they weren't picking him up to be a 100-point scorer.
You know what?
Getting a little sandpaper and with a scoring touch.
I think that they needed a change in the playoffs. They were getting rocked by Tampa.
Right.
Huberdeau, one of the best wingers in their team history. I think I would have kept him.
Yeah.
And just because of the chemistry with Barkov and then kind of move some other pieces around. But I guess the GM, I think his name's Zito, he wanted a change, man. He had Huberdeau for one more year. And I think he's 4 years older than Tkachuk. And he made a deal and he believed in it, and he's standing by it, and he's very happy with it.
Probably because if he scores another 100-point season, he's looking at least like a $12 million contract right there. $12 million for Huberdeau.
I think they got him for a decent price. I figured he was going to want all that money because, you know, that's what the Tkachuks do. They demand, you know, the highest amount of money. I just don't, at first I was like, wow, Calgary, like they knocked it out of the park with this deal. They got Huberdeau, yeah, Weaver, a first round pick. They just, seems like they annihilated it. But then when you look at all the numbers are close. But like you said, Tkachuk is not playing with Johnny Hockey anymore. He's going to be playing with Barkov, who's a very good player. But he's not Huberdeau. Huberdeau is more of the playmaker on that team. And I think that Tkachuk, his goals will go down. Maybe I say he's going to be close to 30, but I think he's going to be setting up Barkov more.
You think so?
I think so, yeah. I think Johnny Hockey, you know what? Johnny Hockey's a playmaker too. But he put in 40 goals this year, which is very impressive. But
it is.
Kind of changing subjects a little bit. I think Johnny Hockey and Patrick Laine are going to light it up more than Barkov and Tkachuk will this season.
I'd have to agree with you. If they can get that chemistry, I would think that they can. You have to see, you know, where Laine is. You know, things could be a little rocky at the beginning of the season, then he kind of checks out because he does that.
Well, I listened to his presser today. I was pretty much working in my truck all day, but when he found out that Johnny Hockey signed with the Blue Jackets, he thought it was a fake account on Twitter. He said, I thought people were just making stuff up. Like, you know, they put a picture of him signing and he's like, he couldn't believe it. But then he started getting all these text messages from teammates. Like, yeah, we just landed Johnny Hockey. And he goes, my hands were shaking. He goes, I called my agent. I said, let's get this deal done right away. And you know what? They got it done within, what, a week, week and a half after free agency. So I think he's excited. He's never played with a guy with this, like, skill. Elite playmaking talent. Yeah.
Right.
And he could put the puck in the net, no doubt about it.
Yeah, definitely.
Now he's got a guy who's going to give him more space, more pucks.
He just needs to shoot because that's what he does best.
That's what he does. He can go coast to coast on you, and you know what? They're going to surround him now. Johnny Hockey was the biggest free agent signing in Blue Jackets history. They have never been able to pull off a guy like that. So, you know what? That team's buzzing now. I mean, the fans are buzzing, and, you know, they got some good goaltending, some, you know, good defense, Zach Werenski. That team's going to be dangerous with Johnny Hockey for the next 5 years. But Patrick Laine, I think those two are going to light it up more than Barkov and Tkachuk will, for sure.
You know, I honestly, I think Barkov is more of a Taves-type player.
Yeah, and, like a sulky. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I don't know what Tkachuk is. He's more like a power forward, but it's like sometimes he's like a scoring power forward, and then other times,
he disappeared. Yeah. He disappeared in the second round, man. We talked about game one, and he was the headline of the game. This guy's scoring, he's fighting, he's starting trouble, and it stopped. It just stopped.
Yeah, he kind of disappeared. I wonder, do you think there was an injury?
No, I think that Edmonton was disciplined and didn't fall for the bullshit, but, you know, you got to go over the edge. You got to get in that McDavid's head. You got to get in their heads. So maybe Florida wants him to be that guy to put him over Tampa Bay, because Tampa's still a favorite. So maybe he's already chirping on his, he was saying he hates Tampa. He can't wait to face Tampa. I mean, it's good for the Battle of Florida. Like, you know, playoff, you know, they're going to run into the playoffs again. They're both two good teams still.
Dude, in all honesty, I mean,
it's the goaltending for me.
Is there like really a thing there? Because, you know,
yeah, there is.
The only reason I ask is because they got swept this year, you know, and as much as we'd like to say, it's like, yeah, you know, Florida's great against every other team except, you know, the one Tampa team that really matters.
Yeah, and they share a state together.
They share a state, you know, and this was supposed to be their year, and they got swept by Tampa. I don't think that there's really a, you know, it's I think Tampa just rolls them over, and that's it. Maybe
it's just a beatdown.
To Florida, they're thinking, like, yeah, you know, like, this is like our rival, but like Tampa's like, you're not our rival. We beat the shit out of you all the time.
Right. It's not a rival to them because they win. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's like the Hawks fans that used to, oh, Detroit's our biggest rival, and I'm, you know, like, yeah. And when you get beat down like 8 games, like 8-0, like for the 7-8 years, it's not a rival. It's just a freaking slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
And then we started building a little bit. We'd still, even when we had Kane and Taves, they would still, you know, they'd teach us lessons and stuff. So it took 2013 for us to finally get over that hump with Seabrook burying them. But yeah, that's how it kind of is with Tampa and Florida.
2009, man, when we lost in the Western Conference Finals, I was like, hey, this is the way it goes, you know?
I think that would have been a lot different if Hobby Boulin didn't get hurt and Marty Havlat didn't get Cronwalled. I think it would have been a lot different, maybe game 7, but I still think their Wings would have came out on top.
Yeah. That was a good series, though.
It was. It was entertaining. I thought Cristobal Huey came in game 5. He was really good. He had a rough season before that, and he played the game of his life, and that was his last game as a Blackhawk, I think. Wow. Oh, no, it wasn't. I'm sorry. He ended up sharing the net with Niemi. That was his last playoff game.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about Tkachuk. You know, Brady got his deal last year, practically the same amount of money, and Matthew got his this year. So I'm wondering, the Tkachuks, man,
make money.
They do. You know, obviously Ottawa's in a much better spot now than they were before, and I'm still trying to figure out if Florida got better from that trade.
He picked his team. He says, you know what? I liked Florida. I liked the lifestyle. I like wearing sandals all year round. And, you know, it's different. You know, there's not going to be fans buzzing for you, you know, like Calgary's a they sell out. I mean, you're gods in that city.
Yeah.
And now you're going to go to the beach and some people might be like, look at this dude. You know, like they're not going to even know who you are, but some guys, they don't care.
Right. So
he chose it. He helped. I do respect that. He said, I want to be traded, but I want to help the return back for me. And he talked about that. He said he did not want to screw over the Flames. He wanted them to have a great return. How often do you see a player that was up for MVP last season, 115 points, get traded for another guy who put 150 or 100 points plus up? It's rare, man. It's a blockbuster trade. We haven't seen one of those in a while.
It makes you wonder, man, what the hell? Being a Calgary fan, I'd be like, what the fuck? We lost Johnny Hockey and Matthew Tkachuk, and we made the playoffs this year. And, you know, it's like they were playing really well. Yeah, they were playing really well. I mean, they just needed one thing. They just happened to go up against Edmonton at the wrong time is what happened.
They won the Pacific Division. Right. No one picked them. I picked Vegas.
Right. And, you know, this happens, and now, like, look at where they are. That sucks. As a fan, I'd be like, how does this happen?
That's heartbreaking, man. That it is. But I think it's not as bad as Johnny Hockey gone.
Okay.
I mean, at least you got somebody good in return for a year at least. So right now, I think this trade, it's win-win for both sides. And then next year, if Huberto wants to test free agency, he said he has expressed interest in re-signing with Calgary. But you know what? They have to say that. They just got traded there. You don't want to get on the bad side of the fans and the management. Like, he's just being a pro. Yeah, I'd be open to signing here. But, you know, he could say, I want to test free agency like Johnny Hockey did. I just think Johnny Hockey should have been a little more truthful and say, hey, I don't really plan on re-signing. You might want to deal me at the deadline. That's just me. It's kind of like a Tavares.
Yeah.
Kind of move. Like, yeah, you don't lead the Islanders on to the last second when they could have moved you. They weren't going to win the Stanley Cup that year. They could have got a first round pick and at least replaced with maybe a prospect. But that's something, I guess it doesn't matter. I mean, Johnny Hockey, I guess he was, they say he was fair to the end, but I kind of like the last 10 hours before free agency, he said, yeah, I'm done. And how can you set up a trade that fast? I mean, no one's going to take that. You're not going to overpay when you can wait an extra 10 hours and talk to him for free.
Right.
So I do respect Tkachuk doing that, though. He brought back a good return for that team. A first-rounder, Weaver's a good defenseman, and Huberto, an MVP finalist, I believe.
How do you... What kind of contract are you seeing Huberto getting? I'm saying between 10.5 and 11.
Well, he's going to be 30, right?
Right.
So it's tough, man. I don't think I'd sign him to anything longer than a 5-year deal.
Yeah, I'm thinking 5 years at maybe 11 million, 10 or 11 million.
I don't even think he's going to get that much. I think he's going to get close to Tkachuk money, maybe 10 max.
Okay.
But somebody desperate, like somebody who has cap space and going for it, might pay.
Okay,
I could see Detroit doing it, quite honestly.
I'll say 10.5. That'll be my number.
Max?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he'll end up getting Tkachuk money.
Okay.
Just because of the age, that's why.
Well, next time when that rolls around next year, hopefully we remember this.
And I think he will be traded at the deadline. I really believe that.
From Calgary?
Yes.
Wow.
To where? I just think... I think the highest bidder, probably somebody going for it, or it could be somebody who wants to talk to him for re-signing sooner. You know, I could see Stevie Y pulling that deal because his team is close. He needs a game breaker. He needs like a Hossa type player.
That I think free he needs a younger Hossa, though.
Well, how old was Hossa when he came here? Was he 31?
No, I thought he was like 29 or 30.
I don't think he was in his 20s, but I think I could see a guy, that team that's right there, ready to make that next jump, going for it. Even the LA Kings, I could see doing it.
Interesting.
I hope it's East, man. Go get away from the West.
Yeah. Sorry, man. You got anything else for today?
No, we kind of jumped into it a little bit. Patrick Laine, you know, he signed, a $32 million deal for 4 years, around eight something. But I really love that signing. I think Jarmo Kekalainen, the GM of the Jackets, was pretty surprised that he was able to land him. And you know what? It made it a lot easier to get Patrick Laine back because he gave up a lot for Laine, and now he wants him to stick around for 4 years. So you figure that's about 400, close to 400 games he's got him for. Him and Johnny Hockey together. It's going to be fun, man. It's going to be scary.
I never thought I'd ever say something. I'd hear something like that come out of you about the Blue Jackets.
Well, they're not in our division anymore, right. So it's not like it's like I'm not going to ever credit, you know, like Nashville. I mean, they got a good. I think they have a good player, you know.
Right.
Saros. That's about it. But I'm not a big fan of that franchise at all. St. Louis. I love the way they play, but I'm never gonna cheer for them ever.
Yeah.
Just agree. Stuff like that. Colorado. No, thank you. I'd rather cheer for Detroit, quite honestly.
Isn't that brutal?
Yeah. I mean, after watching the 30 for 30, I'm cheering for Detroit all day. Fuck Claude Lemieux.
How about that story about Brendan Shanahan where he said that, you know, Scotty Bowman, what he would do is back in the day when the Red Wings were on the road, Brendan Shanahan said that Scotty Bowman would leave a stick at the front desk. And whenever it was past a certain time, he would have the person working the front desk have the players who came in late sign the stick. So that when he got up in the morning, he would see whoever signed that stick were guys that were out past curfew. So
yeah. I had a coach just like that on tournaments.
So Brendan Shanahan thing. Said that whenever he would come in and it was time for him to sign the stick, he would always sign Darren McCarty's name.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, that's so funny, man. That's so funny.
I would have signed Stevie Y. What, are you going to bench me?
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
So we had a coach. Yeah, exactly. We had a coach on tournaments. We'd go like once a month to a different state when I played, and he would give us a 9:30 curfew on Fridays and Saturdays. Obviously, Sundays we weren't out because we were usually home by then, but he would put marbles by the door. So, like, usually the dads would all hang out together, play cards, you know, like in the lobby or pool area, and he'd want the guys to go in bed and rest up for the game. But he would put marbles out in the hallway, so once you open the door, the marbles fling all over the place, and he would hear it.
Right.
And he'd be like, okay, Matt, you are sitting today's game. You're starting to the other goalie. But, both my goalies are out. Oh, okay, so... Me and the other goalie were like, what the hell is he going to do now, you know?
Yeah.
So he put us, he would rotate us every 10 minutes in the game to keep us sharp and, like, more nervous. We're like, just to punish us. We were like, what? So 10-minute marker, we'd switch, we'd be cold. And he only heard his own team doing this, but we stopped doing it because we just didn't like the feeling of sitting, going back. But some coaches are crazy. I think Mike Keenan was a weirdo, too.
Yeah.
I think Belfour wrote something in his, or I'm sorry, Roenick wrote something in his book saying Keenan used to just stand outside JR's door and, you know, he'd put his finger on the peephole. You know, so Roenick couldn't look out and see if he was out there.
Yeah.
Sure enough, Roenick would peek up and Keenan would be right there. Where are you going, kid? Roenick, oh, I just heard something out here, and slam the door. Roenick said that, motherfucker, I can never get out and, you know, go to the bars out in the opposing cities and stuff. So there's some weird coaches out there, man.
Well, Roenick was, he was a talent to behold at the time, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, I remember, I think he was in Edmonton, and he said that he was able to escape Keenan's watch, and Keenan found out he wasn't there, and they didn't have phones at the time, so he heard something like Keenan was on the warpath looking for him, and Roenick had to climb up the balcony to get in, and he said he slept outside in Edmonton, so...
Oh,
I don't know
gosh.
How that, and then he must have snuck through the lobby or something, but just crazy stuff, man. Keenan was a scary little dude, man.
Yeah, he was.
Little Napoleon.
Yeah, he was. He was. All right, cool. All right, everybody. That's all that we got for you tonight. Thanks a lot for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one. This is the Tomahawk, and we're out of here.